WVUA-FM, Tuscaloosa.
Folks, welcome back into the Seating Section College Football Wrap-Up here on 90.7 The Capstone. Today is October 30th, and we're live here from the University of Alabama. I'm Nicholas Persley, joined as always tonight by Joe Schatz. How are we doing?
Pretty good. Pretty boring weekend, though, I must say, with no Alabama football. But a lot of games to talk about, so looking forward to it.
For sure. And Adam Hambright.
Doing pretty good. You know, spent the weekend. I went, checked out the regatta. Then I went to the charity exhibition for basketball, followed by checking on all the college football games. So I felt pretty good about it.
Yeah, Alabama could not make a three. But, other than that, a pretty exciting game. College football was pretty exciting this week, despite the fact that we didn't have an Alabama game to watch. We got some crazy upsets to talk about. Since we don't have an Alabama game this week, we're going to get right into the brand new AP poll. Georgia remains at number one after they take down Florida 42-20. But the interesting part comes at number two. For the first time since 2004, we have a tie for second place. Tennessee and Ohio State both tied. I should point out, though, that Tennessee does have 18 first-place votes over Ohio State's 15 first-place votes, but they do have the same number of points, so they are completely tied at number two. The first question I'll ask, who should be the true number two team?
Well, from the AP, how they have the poll set up, right now, I think Ohio State should be number two. I think the reason Tennessee finally did get tied at number two with them was because it finally looked like their defense showed up a little bit against Kentucky. I don't want to give too much away from one of our segments later, but right now, I would still have Ohio State at number two. I mean, Tennessee and Georgia play each other this weekend, so that'll kind of even itself out. But right now, I would have Ohio State ahead of Tennessee.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's, really hard to figure it out because, I mean, Tennessee's had a lot of impressive wins, but Ohio State pretty much just got their, really probably first maybe impressive win over the weekend against Penn State. But I think I would lean Tennessee just because I think the way that they obviously they beat Alabama, played Kentucky and blew them out. Defense played really well. So I would have Tennessee, I guess, as the number two team over Ohio State. But I think it's so close that, going into a game in which you're going to have the number one and number two team play each other, it's going to be figured out very quickly.
Yeah, for sure. I think, I'm also going to lean Tennessee here. Look, 44-6 is nothing to it's just a great win. I mean, this is a good Kentucky team that a lot of people thought were going to be really good at the beginning of the year. And you have Will Levis, who's supposedly, some people were saying over Bryce Young. I don't think you can even consider that anymore. He goes 16 of 27 for less than 100 yards, throws three picks. And Hendon Hooker comes out and has a game, as always. I think Tennessee delivered exactly what we thought we were going to get from them. And they have a lot more impressive wins. I'll talk about this later, but they have the best win in college football right now, I think, over Alabama. I think, we were saying, Ohio State's, one very impressive win is against, Penn State. This is their first,
I mean, I'll give you that where, Penn State's the only game that's really that impressive. And, with Tennessee, with their hard games, it's all been at home. This is the first time we see them in a very difficult game on the road. Ohio State had to go to Penn State. Penn State's probably not as good as what some people had them earlier in the season, but it's still an impressive win. My thing with Ohio State is just with all the other games, they haven't been close. They've taken care of business. I kind of complained a little bit, last week about how this was going to be their second road game of the season, so they have benefited from having a very home-heavy schedule. But when you have Tennessee, they go to Pittsburgh, I think it was week two or week three, And, you know, they went into overtime against Pittsburgh, and now Pittsburgh has got four or five losses. So, you know, Pittsburgh doesn't look that good for their win, even though they would still count it as a top 25 win from back then. So I can make the case for Tennessee being up there, and I can also make the case for Ohio State. I would hold off on putting Tennessee over Ohio State until I see them on the road against Georgia.
You know, as far as the rest, 4 through 8 all remain the same. But, you know, we definitely have to talk about Michigan State. Maybe not so much because of the game, but what happened after the game. There's a huge fight that broke out kind of, I guess, in the tunnel area headed to the locker room. Mm-hmm. Harbaugh says that two of his players were assaulted. You know, what was y'all's reaction to seeing that on social media after the game?
Yeah, wasn't really much of a fight. It was just kind of like a guy got jumped, pretty much. I mean, the video that I saw was a dude being, a Michigan player being just thrown around by like 15 Michigan State players. But honestly, like my initial reaction, I was just really shocked because I didn't think Michigan State was necessarily like that. And I get that their season's been kind of frustrating for kind of the expectations that they had coming in, and they just pretty much got blown out by their, you know, their biggest rival. But I didn't expect that from a team and a head coach of you know, the head coach by Mel Tucker, who seems like a very like hard-nosed kind of you know, intense, but like in the good way of intense, not, you know, trying to beat up players, but, you know, very uniform, very professional. And I was just really shocked by it all, because I don't, you know, it's not a good look for Michigan State. And yeah, I think there's going to be some suspensions and some scholarships being revoked, or something's going to happen here.
Yeah, it'll be very interesting to see how it all gets handled. With the actual situation, I do want to know what led into it, because the only video I've seen, you know, is when it's actually already happening.
Yeah.
I don't know, you know, what was said, but there is still no excuse for, you know, 10, 15, you know, Michigan State players just beating up one Michigan guy. I do want to know if Michigan will do anything with their setup, because, I mean, they've had the same stadium forever, and they've had the same setup forever, where both teams use the same tunnel to go onto the field and off the field. And some people complain about in the past. You've seen, like, before games where Michigan and Ohio State players would almost get in fights in the same tunnel. And then when you have a game like this, obviously emotions were high throughout the game. Michigan State's upset. Something was probably said. They're both having to walk the same way, and then eventually something like this happens. So I want to know what's going to come out of the Michigan State, you know, who gets suspended, who maybe gets kicked off the team, but then also does Michigan go, you know, maybe we need to rethink the layout of our stadium a little bit.
Yeah, it's just, to me, it's just really disappointing to see stuff like this, you know, from Michigan State. You know, it's kind of sad that we even have to have this conversation about how Michigan should have to change where the locker rooms are just because, you know, Michigan State players can't control themselves after the game. I mean, look, these rivalries are intense. They're emotional. You build up to a game like this all year. But, like, at no point should it turn into somebody just getting jumped after the game. I mean, this is not, like, if you watch the video, it's not even a fair fight. I mean, he has zero chance.
It's
just nasty.
The only thing that I can remember between Michigan and Michigan State being anything, no, it wasn't anything like 10 guys beating up one player, but there was like a couple years ago, I remember a guy kind of, I forgot who it was, but somebody was like kind of like raking their cleats at the midfield logo, and then there was kind of a big get together. You could say, but I mean, nothing like this. And like you said, Nick, that, you know, it, like, emotions get high in these games, and you know, the rivalries are so deep, and, you know, when you get blown out, especially by, you know, 22 points, I can get that it can be hard, but yeah, there's just no real room for it. So,
yeah, I mean, I just don't want to lose another rivalry just because we have like some horrible thing that happens after the game. You know, like, nothing bad even happened between Oklahoma State, and we're going to lose that rivalry because of pettiness out of Oklahoma going to the SEC. So, I mean, I do not want to see more rivalry games, like, not being played anymore, like Texas A&M, which hopefully we will get. again in the future. But yeah, just not something you want to see. Moving on down the list, USC up another spot to number 9. UCLA goes up 2 spots to number 10. Ole Miss jumps up 4 spots after they narrowly beat Texas A&M. I thought it was very interesting. Lane Kiffin had some comments for Jimbo after the game. He said he wanted to dress up. I think he said something like he wanted to dress up like a clown for Halloween or something. What was y'all's reaction to that game?
Yeah, well, I mean, I saw something where he changed hoodies at halftime, and that changed the whole complexion of the game. I mean, Lane Kiffin's like just a very like out there guy. I mean, he doesn't really have like a coach speak type of deal. I think he even said that after the game. He was like, he doesn't have like a coach talk. He just talks. And I think that just the amount of kind of stuff that Jimbo Fisher hurled at, I think, Nick Saban and maybe even Lane Kiffin over the summer. And Lane Kiffin obviously has a lot of respect for Nick Saban and what Nick Saban, you know, kind of helped Lane Kiffin with. But for the most part, I mean, I it was hilarious to me. I mean, you know, I feel bad for A&M fans, but I definitely don't feel bad for Jimbo Fisher.
I mean, I'll speak more on the game, but I was very surprised with Texas A&M in this game. Mm-hmm. I think most people are with how close it was. A lot of us kind of just expected Ole Miss to go in here and blow them out, especially after Texas A&M just lost to South Carolina. But has Texas A&M finally found their quarterback? Yeah, he was, you know, hidden, you know, as the third string guy, but that's been their weakness the whole year has been quarterback play. And then this week, I mean, 28-44 doesn't look that great, but then 338 yards, 4 touchdowns. If they had come up with a couple more stops, they, you know, probably win this game. I was very surprised at Texas A&M, but I don't think we can read too much into Ole Miss's side because they're going to play probably a lot better once we go into town in 2 weeks. But
yeah, doesn't that always seem like the case? Everybody gets better right before Alabama's about to show up. Yeah, I'm really surprised that Texas A&M the last couple of games has been staying in it a little bit more than I thought they would have. You know, but still, they're 3-5, and yeah. You know, you have A&M fans that are calling for like Jimbo Fisher to just be gone. Like they don't care. They're ready to pay this ridiculous buyout. I saw somebody on Twitter said that when A&M and Auburn play, that they should like compete. Whoever loses has to keep their head coach, and that losing team has to pay for the other coach's buyout.
Yeah, with the buyouts, I know like Texas A&M boosters. They do have a lot of money. If they really want to pay this buyout, they probably could, but it's still, you know, over $90 million. Yeah. And then, but like, even if you wait 1 year, it only goes down to like 70 something. So they're gonna have to wait a while if they want to shrink the buyout, like if that's what's holding them on. But I mean, right now he's been there, you know, a while. They've had, I think, 1 top 10 finish. And then this year they were kind of, you know, preseason top 5, or they were, I think they were number 6 preseason top 10, and now, you know, 3-5, 1-4 in the conference. So.
I believe that top 10 finish was also that COVID year when, like, they, I think they were ranked 5th, and I would imagine they got a little boosted because they were the only one that played, like, 10 games. But yeah, it's interesting to look at A&M because they've lost 4 in a row now, starting with Mississippi State and now Ole Miss. But then if you look at the rest of their schedule, like, it's hard to say that they're going to go to a bowl game because they have Florida next week. Then they got on the go into the road to play Auburn, which is, like you said, it might be like a loser leaves town match in wrestling, that type of deal. But, you know, that game might be a toss up. Then UMass, they'll probably beat that. They'll probably win that one. And then LSU to finish the season. So, I mean, I don't know if you can find 3 wins in there. I think you can just, obviously UMass is going to, well, I don't want to say obviously. I mean, App State was probably an obvious win, but so there's probably your 4th win, and then you're going to have to hope that you're probably beating Florida and Auburn, and you know, if you can't do that, it's going to be hard to really get to a bowl. I mean, for a team that's lost 4 in a row to then somehow finish the year 3-1 would be really hard to do. And that's even just scrape into the bowl games. I mean, that's like 6-6, like Birmingham Bowl. Like, that's not, you know.
Well, with how many bowls they have now, you can get in at 5-7 if they want to get you in. But
yeah, like if they really want you, like you said. But
if you're an A&M fan, do you really want your team to play bowl game?
They might decline the bid even if they finish 6-6. Like, I'm going to be honest. I mean, I don't know if they will, because I think the if they finish 6-6, then, like, at that point, you might try to go for a winning season at the very
Birmingham
least.
Bowl. I mean, here's...
Like, I don't know if you want that.
My thing with Texas A&M, yeah, they've lost 4 straight, but... Okay, so against Alabama, you know, they almost won. They had to play at the last play of the game. We also did not have Bryce Young. So if Bryce Young's in, it might be a different story, but... They lose that game by 4. South Carolina, they were down 17-0 in like the first 5 minutes of the game. They lost 30-24. And then Ole Miss, 31-28. So, like, they're not losing big. So, if the trend continues, they could obviously, you know, they could lose all 4 games. I think they'll beat UMass. But I think there's also a possibility that they could, if they keep playing like they have the ability to win out. I'm not going to say they will, but I think every game remaining on the schedule with how they've played, besides, you know, the first 5 minutes against South Carolina and then, you know, giving up 200 rushing yards against Ole Miss, I think they can make a bowl game.
I think they can. I wouldn't be shocked though in a couple weeks we sit down to do our upset picks and UMass over A&M is on the tip of our tongues here. But yeah, I don't know. I think it's going to be really hard to just like to turn the culture around in a week to that point to where you can try to win those 3 games. Because I mean, realistically, your three games you're winning are your next 3. You know, so it's not like you can change something, go into a game that, you know, maybe you know you can win. Like if UMass was next week for them, then it's like, okay, we can start. I believe it's Wegman is the quarterback's name. You know, you can start him, kind of start to maybe shift some things around. You go into Florida with a win, but instead you're going to be playing Florida and, you know, with you coming off the heels of another loss. And like you said, Adam, like they are close losses. Like this A&M team is not getting blown out, really, but...
But I mean, Florida.
They shouldn't be losing.
Florida, they haven't really looked good except for like the third quarter against Georgia.
No.
Auburn hasn't looked good all year except for like the first half against Penn State. UMass is UMass. And then LSU, they weren't even in the top 25 and got blown out by Tennessee like 40-3 or 13, I think it was.
Yeah.
It was a big loss. Yeah. And then all of a sudden, they're down 17-3 against Ole Miss. They come back to win 45-20, and then it's like, where did this LSU team come from? So we don't really know how good of a team LSU is either. So with that being said,
it'll be hard. But I mean, like A&M probably should win those games, but I just don't know if they will, and I don't know if they can. Because I mean, in reality, if you look at their whole schedule, they really should have been winning. I think everything except Alabama and you know Ole Miss. Like those maybe are the games that. Well, preseason, I guess you could say they really only should have lost to Alabama, but yeah, I mean, going into this 4-game stretch, you could maybe see losing, or you could see losing Alabama and potentially losing Ole Miss, but I just don't know. I don't know if they can. I mean,
but that's before the season. I mean, when Mississippi State beat them, Mississippi State jumped in the top 25. When they lost to South Carolina, South Carolina got put in the top 25. These aren't teams that are one-win teams beating them. They're pretty decent.
No, they're not bad teams, but I mean. Which, to be fair, South Carolina did just lose to Missouri, but yeah, I get what you're saying though. Like they're all good teams, and the SEC is that type of conference where, besides you know the top couple of teams, like you know a lot of the mid tier teams can kind of beat each other up. But yeah, it's gonna be hard for Jimbo Fisher to talk away this season.
Yeah, Jimbo Fisher's gonna have a very tough time, I think, keeping his job. Like, other than just, like, the fact that they don't want to pay that ridiculous buyout, like, I think it's literally the only thing keeping
them. They're going to find something. Right, they got, like, I think because if they can, they're going to try to fire him with a cause.
Oh, yeah, they find then, him dirt on.
Yeah, they're gonna say, no, he really was paying these guys.
Yeah. Well, so, just go to the forms. The forms, the online forms, what is it, like Texas Ags or something? I'm sure they've got some
They got a couple conspiracies cooked up.
So you heard it here first. Next fall, offensive analyst Jimbo Fisher.
Yep. That's how it works.
So we got two more games that we just have to talk about. First off, Oklahoma State, what happened? 48-0 loss to Kansas State. Adam, you called it.
I was the only one that had faith in them. I did not think it would be that big, especially with Adrian Martinez being out. But I'm going to take all the credit for this one. You know, I knew Kansas State would not lose this game at home.
Yeah, it was kind of a surprise to me because, I mean, especially kind of, you know, going into the preseason with how good Oklahoma State's defense was supposed to be. I mean, they were pretty much the only Big 12 team that played defense last year. And you kind of look at their schedule now, and it's they led up 44 to Central Michigan. They led up 43 to TCU, 34 Texas, and then 48 to Kansas State. And, I mean, you know, Kansas has been in the decline, but road game against Kansas, maybe not the best thing for Oklahoma State right now, but yeah, I was just really shocked. I was amazed at watching Deuce Vaughn, the Kansas State running back. He had an incredible game, 158 yards, touchdown, 7.2 per carry. So he's pretty much given you like 8 yards a run, which is wild. And the backup QB, like you mentioned, with Adrian Martinez out, Will Howard, just a guy that I'm going to be honest, I never heard of, but coming in and just playing perhaps the game of his life, throwing 4 touchdowns, not turning the ball over. Kind of an incredible, like an all-around incredible game by Kansas State. I think easily their best game of the season. So I think that they, I don't know what the standings are now, but I think they should be favorites to win that conference.
Kansas State?
Yes.
Yeah, I mean, you have to remember TCU is still undefeated.
That is true.
So, like,
but
so, I mean, what does the Big 12 championship game even look like now? TCU, did TCU and Kansas State play?
They did. Yeah, Kansas, Kansas State right. had the 28-10 lead, and TCU came out.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
Yeah, so who knows what the Big 12 looks like at the end of the year. The other big game that we have to talk about is Wake Forest losing to Louisville 48-21. They have 8 turnovers in the second half of this game.
Set a record.
It's the first time that's happened in at least 15 years.
I think it was 6 just in the third quarter as well. It was insane. Yeah. I did not.
The quarter that Louisville put up 35. That's remarkable.
Yeah, it's just like one of those bad dreams where like everything keeps going wrong and you just can't stop it from happening. And it's
literally 14-13 at halftime. And then at the end of the third quarter, you know, Louisville scores 35 points in the third.
I mean, Sam Hartman, I think, had 6 turnovers by himself, I believe, because I think he lost 3 fumbles and then had 3 picks. So,
yeah, it's a rough week for both those programs in Oklahoma State and Wake Forest. Just both of them, I don't think, ready to play this week. Also, I have to give a shout-out to Oregon State, who is ranked finally. They're in at number 24.
We'll see how long it'll have.
Yeah, we'll see. Also, Notre Dame beats Syracuse randomly, 41-24.
Well, yeah. I mean, Notre Dame beating Syracuse really should not be an upset, like, in any sense of the word, but
This year with how Notre Dame has looked.
Notre Dame played good. They kind of ran away with the game pretty much from the end of the, I think, first quarter. Notre Dame's, you know, offense was pretty much just running the ball. They ran the ball a legitimate 56 times. They threw it 20, or 19, I should say. They played really good. I mean, their defense kind of shut out Syracuse's pretty good running game. I mean, led by Sean Tucker, he had 60 yards. They averaged 2.4 a carry as a team for Syracuse, but yeah, I mean, good win for the Irish, but I don't think, like, their fans are really, like, I mean, I would imagine they're excited because they won, but, I mean, this just, like, this being an upset just really, really tells the story of this season of college football.
I mean, that was only Syracuse's second loss, so, like, you can't just write Syracuse off just because they lost to Notre Dame. Mm-mm. But, I mean, Notre Dame now, when they lose they lose to Ohio State, you know, everybody's like, you know, it's Ohio State. Then you lost to Marshall, and I think that's when everybody kind of just started being like, well, maybe next year for Notre Dame. And obviously they're not going to make a push for anything major, but they are now 5-3. So they're, you know, one win away from being a bowl game, and the rest of their schedule is pretty winnable. I know they do have Clemson this week, but they get that one at home, Navy, Boston College, and then at USC.
Navy, though, Navy is a neutral site. It's technically in Baltimore.
Yeah.
So not quite a home game, but they should be winning.
But still, that's
yeah.
They're
going to win.
They could. They might go 2-2 in this, but you know that's a 7-win season in Marcus Freeman's first year. I don't think that's a terrible finish for him there after the start to the season.
Yeah, a lot of football programs trying to turn things around from absolute disaster. When we come back in our next segment, we will all be ranking our top 10 teams in college football ahead of the first playoff committee rankings coming out on Tuesday.
WVUA-FM, Tuscaloosa.
Welcome in, folks, to the college football wrap-up here on 90.7 The Capstone. We've got a heater of a segment coming up here. We've all got our top 10s in college football.
If it was anything
right
like
now,
the break, this is going to be a great segment.
We might not make it out of the booth today after this one. So we'll get right into things. So we're all going to start, and feel free to give some justification for kind of like what your overall process was while ranking the teams. But kind of go around, and who was everyone's number one team?
So my number one team was Tennessee. I just think that they have potentially the two best wins in college football. They definitely have the best one in Alabama. I think that Kentucky win yesterday was really impressive. It seems like their defense has maybe turned a corner if they can keep that up. But yeah, Tennessee's my number one team right now. I think it's close between them and my number two team, but for right now, Tennessee's one for me.
Yeah, so for me, I've got Ohio State number one. And basically, the question with Tennessee all year has been the defense. And yes, against Kentucky, they held Kentucky to 6 points, less than 100 yards passing for Will Levis. But I don't think their defense does that to Ohio State. Ohio State's going to stretch the field. They're going to be able to score a lot of points on them. I don't know how good Ohio State's defense will be against Tennessee. I think it could be a close shootout game, kind of like how Tennessee and Alabama was. But with my – I'm more concerned about Tennessee's defense than Ohio State's defense. And with that being said, I can't put Tennessee ahead of Ohio State right now, which is why earlier I had them as number two ahead of them. But on my actual thing, I have Ohio State as number one.
Yeah, so my number one is also Tennessee. So I kind of built my rankings around having wins against good teams when you played them. Like, I'm not saying, like,
Pittsburgh's not a good team. I'm just...
Yeah, they're not, but... So, Tennessee has 5 wins against teams that were ever ranked in the top 25, and, like, the LSU win, like, 40-13, like, that looks really good right now, I think. Because I think when we get to the end of the year, I think we're going to think that LSU is, like, a pretty solid team.
I mean, it's good. It looks good right now, but if you're talking about when they played them, that looked like a pretty, like, oh, yeah, LSU was going to lose this game in a blowout.
Did it, though? I mean, it was on the road in Death Valley.
An 11 a.m. game.
I don't know if it was
an 11 a.m. game where half the stadium was Tennessee fans. There was no home field advantage for LSU in that game.
I guess, but...
And also, they have the best win in college football right now against Alabama. So, I think that, like, that alone, like, puts them up there in number one. I don't think that Ohio State has a win that's like even comparable to that Alabama win.
They don't have
that's the thing for me.
They don't have an Alabama win, but they have like even so with the Penn State game.
So do they have a Kentucky win?
Okay,
well, or an LSU win?
I think Penn State's better than Kentucky.
Yeah,
And they're on the road against Penn State, and it was close in the third quarter. Then they finally put it together, and they put up 41 points in the game. So. It's not.
Tennessee put up 44.
Yeah, I mean.
And then put up 52 previously,
sure.
Put up 40.
All the games are at home, though, except for LSU and Pittsburgh. And they're going to count Pittsburgh as a top 25 win.
Ohio State's only second road game?
Yes, second road game, but so, I can look with my eyes and see that they probably don't lose to any team in the top 10. And that's why they're my number one.
So before we rip each other's heads off, let's get to number two. Who was everybody's number two team?
My number two team's Ohio State. Mainly because, like,
I'm surprised you don't have them at number 10 with the way you're talking about them.
Yeah, Ohio State's out of my top 25. No, I, because I, like, I, they are a good football team. I just don't, I can't give them a ton of credit for the teams that they've beat. I mean, the Penn State win, I think, is pretty much their only solid win as of this season. I mean, you could maybe say the Notre Dame win, but even that wasn't, at that, isn't really turning out to be a great win for them. But I think that for, you know, like, they're still a good team. I think CJ Stroud's a really good player and potentially a Heisman winner. But other than Penn State and Notre Dame, they really haven't, I think, had like a win with much substance. And I don't know if they will until they play Michigan. So for right now, and obviously I'm not going to jump into the future too much here, but for right now, I just have them a notch behind Tennessee, simply because of their schedule, their strength schedule.
Okay, so Tennessee's number two right now on my list because, like I said before, I don't think they beat Ohio State. I think it's close, maybe. But Ohio State, they have the best offense in the nation, in my opinion. And Tennessee, you know, their win is Alabama, right? Alabama right now is ranked number six in the AP. That looks good. But if we're talking about all their other wins, Florida doesn't look like they're going to have a very strong season. Kentucky, that's their third loss. They're now out of the top 25. Pittsburgh, now they've got four or five losses. They're out of the top 25. So all their really good wins beforehand aren't really looking that good except for the Alabama win. And, yeah, they held Kentucky to 6 points when they've been letting everybody else throw for 400 yards against them. I don't think they hold Ohio State to 6 points. I think Ohio State beats them, and that's why Tennessee's number two.
So for me at number two, I've got Georgia. I think that, you know, I'm going to be a little – I'm going to give them some credit, like some bias being the defending champs, still like returning your quarterback.
I don't give them that credit.
I think Stenson Bennett has been really good for what he's needed to be this year. They had a couple rough weeks. This is probably the biggest detractor against Georgia. They had a couple rough weeks. 39-22 Kent State, 26-22 Missouri. You barely escaped there, but the past 3 weeks they've looked really good. 42-10 against Auburn, 55-0 Vanderbilt, 42-20 against Florida. And, you know, they only have the Oregon win, which we don't really know like how good the Oregon win is going to be, like, because right now the win looks fantastic. You beat, you know, I have them ranked pretty high, a really good team, 49-3. But we also don't know that this is the same Oregon team that we would see now. So, but I think the good thing is that a lot of these, like, I think it's pretty close, 1, 2, and 3. And as we get later in the season, we're like really gonna find out, because like Georgia and Tennessee are playing each other next week. Like, we're going to have the answer to that question next week. Who really is better? I think we're finally going to see, yeah, like...
And you finally get to see Tennessee in a tough game on the road.
Yeah, mm-hmm. True. And we also get to see, like, I think one of Georgia's, like, first, like, real tests that are going to tell us, like, is this, like, a really elite team? Or have they just kind of gotten covered up by their schedule a little bit? But definitely. I still have them at number two.
Okay.
So, who's everybody's number three?
Yeah, my number three is Georgia. Simply just because I think that they're still a very good football team. I think they still have a really good shot to potentially win a national championship if they can get past Tennessee. But for, as of right now, I don't really see a real credible win for them. Their schedule, I think that if you look at Georgia's schedule, you kind of look up and down and you say, okay, they really should be beating the teams that they've beat. Tennessee is going to be a whole different ball game. So I think I'll really see how good they are, and we'll really see how good Georgia is, like you said, when they play Tennessee. But for right now, I got Georgia at three simply because you know, I know that they're a good team. I don't know if they're, I still don't know if they're number one, number two caliber team yet.
Yeah, so for me, my number three is Michigan. I think top to bottom, offense, defense, special teams, they're the most well-balanced team. And then you look at their schedule, they have not lost a game. And only one of the games has really been close, and that was Maryland. But again, Maryland, they're only, you know, they've only lost two games, being the Michigan game and then Purdue. I think Michigan has, with the schedule that they've had, they've taken care of business. Yeah, like I said, the closest game was Maryland, a 7-point win. Every other, you know, game, you know, I guess you can make the argument that it's not really good wins except for Penn State. But against Penn State, they had over 400 rushing yards, and they won 41-17. So I got Michigan as my number three right now.
Yeah, so my number three is Ohio State. I think that Georgia's win against Oregon is more impressive than their win against Penn State. And I'll be honest, SEC bias kept Georgia over Ohio State. I just don't think that I think that the – how do I say this? The median of the competition – in the SEC is a lot higher than the median of the competition in the Big Ten. Pretty much simply what kept them for me. So who does everybody have at four?
My number four team is Michigan. I think that they've had a really solid season so far. I think they obviously were coming off a big win against Michigan State. They beat Penn State, kind of blew them out 41-17. I think that If Ohio, like Michigan or Ohio State's going to win the conference, but I just have Michigan State at number four. I just have them right behind Georgia because pretty much like kind of like what you just said there, Nick. Like I think Georgia taking care of business, I think maybe looked a little better than Michigan taking care of business. I think the only game that maybe Michigan would have over Georgia would be that Penn State game, but overall, yeah, I don't know. I can't put Michigan above Georgia at this stage.
Okay. So I got Alabama at number four. Right now, I could see Alabama beating the rest of my top ten, but I don't know if they would beat who I have top three. Obviously, they could beat Tennessee, but we lost to them, so I'm obviously not going to put them above Tennessee. Ohio State, they would give us the same problems that Tennessee gave us, being able to stretch the field with their dynamic receivers. And then Michigan, just being well-balanced, they could give us a run for the money. But I think for the rest of the schedule, or the rest of my top ten, Alabama could beat, and I would, you know, feel much better picking them against the rest of my top 10 than I would against the top three. So Alabama's my number 14.
Yeah, I also have Alabama at number four. Look, this team has one loss, and it's a 3-point loss to Tennessee on the road. Like, that you can't, like, you know, some people say, like, you can't really, like, value like a loss, but like, I mean, if that's your only loss, that has to look pretty good, in my opinion. I think, you know, honestly, I think that I don't like Alabama against Ohio State. That's why I have Ohio State ranked above them. I don't like them against Tennessee in a rematch. Honestly, the only team that I think Alabama could beat out of the top three is probably Georgia. That I would feel like the most comfortable. But like, I still think that Alabama is, like, beats Michigan, they beat Clemson. Like, I don't have a problem with them beat. Like, I'd say 95% confident that they would beat any other team. So that's why I have them at number four. So how about number five?
Number five, I got Alabama. Simply, pretty much just because they have the one loss. It is, you know, and I think it's a good loss, and it's only looking better as the season goes on. But for right now, like, I can't put Alabama, like, I couldn't rank Alabama above a team like Michigan because of the loss. I think Alabama could beat Michigan, but I just can't rank them because of the loss. And I think Michigan has to get some credit for still being 8-0 and looking pretty, you know, pretty solid doing it, albeit against kind of interesting competition. But I got Alabama five.
Yeah, so my number fifth, that's where Georgia comes in for me. And basically, I look at them, and I do not see a top four team right now. obviously some of that has to do with how what I saw them do against Missouri and Kent State. But also, if I'm looking at the matchups, my top four, I think, match up very well with Georgia. After that, maybe not so much. But do they beat Oregon again? They might, but would it be 49-3 or whatever, 49 or 48-3, whatever the final score was? I don't think it's a blowout. I think it's probably a close game this time around with the improvements that Oregon's made and kind of the regression that Georgia has had throughout the season. But I'll still have them at number five, but I can't put them in my top four.
So my number five is going to be Clemson. I think Clemson is better than Michigan. They have more impressive wins. They beat Wake Forest. You know, I'll say that Wake Forest just had the one, like, really tough week, I think. Like, I mean, it looks horrible when you have 8 turnovers in the second half. But, I mean, like, what are the odds of that happening again? Like, 1 in a million. They also beat NC State. That was a good win for them. They also just beat Syracuse. Another good win. So, like, I mean, I just simply think that they have better, more quality wins.
Be careful saying Syracuse is a quality win. Somebody at this table might not agree with
you. Okay, to be fair, I never said Syracuse wasn't a quality win. I just said that Notre Dame should really not be an underdog against Syracuse. That's all I said. Syracuse is a good football team, and I think that they'll probably, you know, I think that they can kind of compete for maybe a top 10, not maybe 10 to 15 by the end of the year, but I was just simply saying that. I don't, you know. Yeah, I think that there's a lot of Notre Dame fans that have been watching Notre Dame like win like Rose Bowls who are like, oh, cool, we beat Syracuse. Like, that's just my opinion. I don't know. I don't know the fan base, but.
Yeah, you can't see it, but the phone's going crazy in here. The Syracuse fan's calling in just
yeah,
ready.
We have a bunch of lines coming irate. Up, pulling up from
yeah,
New
we're
York.
Not, we're not going to pick it up.
They've lost their minds.
No.
So let's go to number six.
Yeah, number six is where I have Clemson. I think that kind of I may be a little hypocritical here, but I think that maybe Clemson being undefeated, I'm not super confident in them. Playing like an Alabama, Michigan, Georgia, Ohio State, Tennessee. So I just simply put them behind all those teams. I think that their offense has been a little choppy. You know, I don't know if they I would imagine they know who their quarterback is in DJ Uiagalelei, but you know, Cade Klubnik is still right there. The questions are going to be asked pretty much every week, so I have Clemson at six.
Yeah, so I got Oregon. With the progression they made since that opening loss and how well Bo Nix has played since then. I know he did throw 2 more interceptions, but he also had like 6 touchdowns, I think 3 passing and 3 rushing. But I think Oregon has earned the right to get up to that number 6 spot. I almost put them at number 5, but I couldn't put them over Georgia just because of that loss. But if they played again, I think it could be a very close game.
Yeah, so I have Michigan at number 6. It's just kind of like, yes, you're undefeated, but, like, who's your big win? Like, I mean, you beat Penn State, but you also started the year playing Colorado, Hawaii, UConn.
I mean, they didn't run the gauntlet of Louisiana Monroe, you know, with that Alabama did, and Vanderbilt.
Yeah, and Utah State.
We got such a tougher schedule. So tough.
There's a reason Utah State was primetime, though. There's a reason
that nobody else wanted the game, and they had an open slot.
No one did. No one else, no.
But, yeah, Michigan's still number 6 for me. So, number 7?
I got TCU. I'm going to be honest. I completely forgot TCU was in the Big 12. I don't know why I thought that. TCU should be the favorites. I said earlier Kansas State should be the favorite in the conference. TCU should be. Completely.
And
that's
now the
on
TCU
me.
Fans are calling. Yeah.
So now I got TCU irate, fans, yeah. I got Kansas State fans now, and Syracuse fans on my line. Notre Dame fans are even calling, telling me that they're stoked about that win. But yeah, I have TCU at 7. They look pretty good. Big 12 is really competitive, so I think for them to be undefeated, it's really impressive. But again, kind of like I said about Clemson, like I don't think TCU is going to beat any of the teams above them in my rankings. I think they would have a decent shot against my 8, 9, and 10. So that's why I got them at 7.
Yeah, pretty much the same reasoning, but I have, you know, Clemson at number 7, where I think they could win against any team below them. but I don't think they beat Oregon, Georgia, Alabama, Michigan, or Tennessee, and Ohio State. Like, I don't – to me, looking at them, yeah, they've had, you know, obviously, you know, some – good wins, Wake Forest at the time, but now that doesn't look good. NC State, who almost lost to Virginia Tech, had to come down from, I think it was 21-3, came back to win that game. I just don't see as dominant of a Clemson team that I need to see to put them any higher than number seven.
So my number seven is TCU. I almost put them above Michigan. But, you know, look, TCU looks great. They're leading the Big 12, the favorites. They have three really good wins. I think Kansas was a good win. Oklahoma State, even though they got trounced by Kansas State, they also beat Kansas State. They have a lot of comeback wins this year. They've got a lot of fight. Max Duggan's looked great. They have the potential. They can beat Texas. That would be, I think, a pretty solid win. And even Baylor, I think, would be a pretty good win. They've been getting some votes in the AP poll. So, you know, I think TCU can win the Big 12. I'm scared, though, that TCU could go undefeated, win the Big 12, and get left out. Yeah. I think, like, this TCU team right now, if that was to happen, would be, like, the biggest argument for the expanded playoff.
Yeah.
So, we'll go to number eight.
I got Oregon at eight. I'm still a little wary on them because I don't know. I still just remember them not moving the ball at all against Georgia. And I don't know. Obviously, I think they're a very different team. And I think that game might have been a little bit of a – you kind of got a new head coach, transfer quarterback going in against Georgia, playing in Atlanta. Like, that's hard for, like, any team to really do. But I don't know. I'm just still a little wary. I don't know if I can put them above – a TCU or a Clemson. I definitely would not be putting them above like an Alabama. So I have them kind of slotted at eight because I need to see maybe a little more. And yeah, so that's where I got the Ducks.
Yeah, so my number eight, that's where I have TCU. I will give them the credit for still being undefeated, but everybody else here wants to talk about good wins. Okay, let's go through their good wins. Oklahoma State and Kansas State. Oklahoma State just lost 48-0 to a backup quarterback. Kansas State, they were down 28-10, had to come back. I'll give them the credit for that. And they almost lost to West Virginia this week. Oklahoma, they're like, it's still labeled as one of their top 25 wins. Oklahoma's not that good. Kansas.
Yeah, that's why I didn't bring up the Oklahoma win, because Oklahoma sucks.
Kansas, you know, they had they put out the quarterback. They played Kansas's backup quarterback. He almost threw for 300 yards against them, and they won by seven. Their other wins, at Colorado, against Tarleton, and at SMU. So two wins where one of their wins doesn't look that good this week because they just lost 48-0. So I can't put them any higher than number eight right now.
So I've got Oregon at number eight. Look, it's really tough. If that Georgia game is a little bit closer, I mean, you can make the argument for Oregon jumping four or five spots. But when you lose 49-3 to open the year, it's tough to ignore. Like, in, you know, I think the playoff committee is going to have a really tough time. Like, even say Oregon goes undefeated, or sorry, with just the one loss to Georgia, they win the Pac-12. Like, if it's between them and Georgia, like, you can't put Oregon in over Georgia, I don't think. I mean, you have to, because, like, when you have a head-to-head, like, it's going to be really tough for them to overcome that.
But that's when it will also come into who is the conference champion.
That's true. I don't think that, like, the conference championship is, like, the end-all be-all. Like, I agree that, like, when we go, like, that's the biggest argument for the expanded playoff, is like, if you win your conference and you go undefeated, there's no possible shot that you should miss out.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. But, like, I just, like, how valuable is a Pac-12, like, conference champion?
Well, right now they have three teams in the top 10.
I was going to say, right now,
okay, but I don't
really
think
USC's
good.
It would be better than, like...
Okay, you don't think USC's good? Well, I don't think Georgia's that good. That's why I dropped them down to five. I would have dropped them back more, but, you know, they're still undefeated, so...
Who do you think... Well, like, okay, if I... Like, are any of those Pac-12 teams better than Georgia? Is it even, like, close? Like, if any of those Pac-12...
I think if Oregon plays Georgia tomorrow, Oregon wins the game.
Well, that's even with that 49-3 loss. Like, I mean, yeah. I'll, granted, it would be a lot closer. I think Bo Nix is, like, feeling himself right now. He's, you know, he's having fun, as they would say.
With the progression...
Are they 47 points better, though?
Right.
Week one to right now?
Look, it doesn't matter if their offense is 47 points better. Their offense is better. Their defense is better. The whole team has gotten better. Does the game get played in Oregon? Does it get played at a neutral site? Does it get played at a neutral site that's not in the state of Georgia where only like three Oregon fans make the trip?
Yeah.
And is it the first game with Bo Nix still learning the offense?
Yeah.
That's fair.
It would be closer.
It definitely would be closer. I've like, I mean, I've been the biggest Bo Nix defender, like even after week one when he got demolished. Like I came on here and said like, let slow your roll, Oregon's still going to be good. Like, but... Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I still have to put them at 8. So we'll move on to number 9.
I got UCLA actually at number 9. I think that's probably one of my biggest, like, yeah, see, everyone just is, like, in the studio going way back in their seats.
Who have they beat, Paul?
Well, they beat Utah by 10.
Utah
they beat Washington if you can.
Washington's not ranked.
A credible...
South Alabama by 1? Is that the one you want to pull?
South Alabama by 1, yeah. But I just simply, I have UCLA up there. Just because I think if it really came down to it, I think they would beat, like, USC. Not that, I don't have USC at 10, but I think that they would beat USC because they can run the ball, and USC's just had way too many close calls. I mean, they beat Oregon State by 3, and I get Oregon State's now a ranked team.
South Alabama by 1.
Yeah, South Alabama by 1, but it's like you're going to have Oregon State by 3, Arizona by
Oregon State's ranked
7. Yeah, but no, yeah, but Arizona by 7 is not exactly a quality win for USC.
Okay. I'll jump in here before you go on your tirade because I also have UCLA at number 9. Look, if it was probably up to me, I probably leave UCLA and USC out of my top 10. Because I just don't think like the Pac-12 is that talented.
But you choose UCLA to put
it. Being honest for you, yes, I did. Let's look at USC's schedule. I'll give them credit. They only lost by 1 point to Utah, who looks like a decent team.
With their best receiver going out for injury.
That's fair. But like even
on the road.
Like this is why. Okay, I'm almost glad that USC lost that game to Utah, because if you have an undefeated USC like that runs the table, they win the Pac-12, like people would be screaming like, oh, you can't leave them out of the playoff. But this team does not deserve to be in the playoff. Like even if they had gone undefeated, they don't deserve to be in the playoff. Like you're playing Rice, Stanford, Fresno State, like your best win arguably the whole season, a 17-14 win against Oregon State, who's number 24. But they just got ranked.
Okay.
Like, I mean, who's your best win? Like, you know, I mean, at least UCLA, I mean, they beat Utah. They beat Washington when they were ranked. Yes, they had a 1 point loss to South Alabama, but they won the game. Yeah. That's the thing.
Okay, but then their first 4 games of the year, Bowling Green, Alabama State, South Alabama, and Colorado. I know Colorado's in the conference, but they're not good. Like, I can't choose to put UCLA over USC when you had South Alabama, who you beat by 1, and you had like 15,000 people in the stand.
But the amount of people in the stands, would they be even better? But I mean, like, okay, is that first 4 better than Rice, Stanford, Fresno State? And Oregon State would be the big outlier, but I mean, like, Stanford hadn't won an FBS game in 370 days until they beat Notre Dame this season. Like, this is like the weirdest debate ever because I don't think either of these teams are exactly great.
Yeah, I mean, I don't put them in the top 10. I had to put one in there
because you don't have to.
Well,
but choosing like UCLA over USC right now.
Because I think UCLA would win.
Has better UCLA, wins.
I think USC wins by 2 touchdowns against UCLA right now.
really.
I mean, but you say UCLA has better
wins.
We're
going to find out.
You're saying Utah's a good win, but I mean, yeah, USC lost to Utah, had a player hurt. Washington, not ranked anymore. Their other ranked game, they lost by 15 to Oregon.
Yeah.
At the time, I think that was the most points Colorado put up against anybody when they played.
Oh, yeah, in week five? Yeah, probably.
Anyway, I got USC number 9. I just, you know, I think they beat UCLA right now, and we run out of time, so we don't need to get too much into
it. We're going to, like, these last four games, we're going to really settle all of our debates in these football games.
Yeah,
like,
that's
USC,
the good thing.
UCLA plays each other, Tennessee, Georgia, Ohio State, Michigan. Like, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, when I was making this list, I sat here and I said, like, I was thinking, why does college football scheduling have to be the way that it is? Like, why do you have to schedule these games? Like, Alabama has games, like, scheduled for, like, 2030. Like,
we just got Minnesota in.
That's, oh, yeah. They got. I don't understand why you have to schedule these games so far out because, like, you know, you could be scheduling these teams that you think are going to be really good, but then you end up kind of getting the short end of the stick when all the teams that you scheduled suck in 2030. Like, I mean, it just kind of sucks. If it was more like basketball where you're scheduling like those games, like, you know, at 1-2 seasons before, then you can kind of build like a pretty decent schedule. Like, you're telling me TCU, like, they know that they have a good team. Like, do you really think that they wouldn't have wanted to schedule like at least one tougher opponent so they could have another good win that would probably boost them into playoff consideration?
I don't think they would have. With right now, with it being a 4-team playoff and every win still meaning that much more, when you're the Big 12, you play a 9-game conference schedule. So you have 3 games out of conference. Are you going to try to schedule that other game that's a tough game to maybe look better, or you might lose? Like with the SEC, it's only an 8-game conference schedule. So you have those 3 games, and then you can schedule another one. But then basically Big 12, 9 games, you got 3 other. You kind of want that extra bye week that you're not really getting because you have an extra conference game. So I don't think they would have scheduled anybody tougher. I mean, Texas did.
Alabama also scheduled Texas, so I mean,
yeah,
I didn't do that. And I get, you know, 8 conference games, but I think TCU would have. I think they wouldn't have scheduled like Georgia or Tennessee or something.
Unless they're made to, they're not.
But I think they would have scheduled like, you know, like a North Carolina, maybe a Penn State. Like they would schedule. Some
they would have
team
scheduled
that,
and then on the same show right now, you would still be saying that's not a good win.
Well, yeah, I would if they beat Penn State. Yeah, I would.
Well, I think the problem is that they don't even have that option. Like, we're not incentivizing them to go like schedule hard teams. Like in basketball, we reward Nate Oates and Alabama for like even though they lost in the first round of the SEC tournament, like they still went out and they scheduled a bunch of tough teams, and they had like, I think they were inside the top 10 in the country for scheduling like strength of schedule.
Yeah.
Like, you should get rewarded for playing tough teams. I don't think it should all just be about, like, look at Georgia's schedule this year. Like, do we think that Georgia should just be allowed to, like, they go undefeated with that, like, weak schedule? They win, like, I mean, they're going to have to beat
Tennessee,
but, like, I mean, do we really, like, Pac-12, like, should you only have to, like, if you go undefeated and your only, like, big win is against another Pac-12 team in the conference championship, like, do we reward that team? Like,
well, if you're going to reward the SEC team for it, then you should reward the Pac-12 team for it.
No, I'm against like rewarding. Okay.
That's what I'm saying. You have to make them do it because like right now, when it's just, are you undefeated? Are you conference champion? And they're having to play more conference games than Georgia is. They're not going to take one of those other games where they can basically get an extra bye week and schedule a tough opponent.
Well, yeah, maybe. I mean. Alabama did schedule Texas.
Correct. Alabama only has 8 conference games.
Yeah, but, I mean, there have been.
And we've scheduled a team like that almost every year, except for 1 year it was Duke and 1 year it was Louisville.
Yeah.
Most of those games were neutral site. We're just now.
Well, yeah, but Alabama doesn't schedule. Like, Alabama's chosen to play those games. That's a contracted thing. Like, they're in the Chick-fil-A kickoff game. Like that?
No.
Yeah.
Because not every year it is a Chick-fil-A kickoff game.
We're not in the Chick-fil-A kickoff game every year, but the Chick-fil-A kickoff game approaches Alabama to play that game. Like, they'll set up the schedule. It's not like Alabama goes, okay, we'll play the Chick-fil-A kickoff game against Duke. It's like the Chick-fil-A kickoff game is like, we're gonna schedule an SEC team and an ACC team. We'll put Alabama there, and we'll figure out who Alabama wants to play, and no one else did, so it was Duke. That's why we played, like, Wisconsin and USC all those times. Alabama didn't necessarily schedule.
So now you're going into my argument anyway. You're saying that they made them play the game.
Yeah.
This year with Texas, it's different. But, I mean, Texas is about to be a conference opponent. We're still only playing 8 conference games.
Well, we're not, though. Like, Texas, regardless of when they will be in the SEC, it's not a conference game now.
Okay, but it will be. Oklahoma, we scheduled Oklahoma. Now we have Minnesota because it doesn't matter. Because right now we only play 8 conference games.
Yeah.
We schedule 1 tough opponent.
Anyway, so we are way over time. We've got to get to our number 10, and then I think we're going to wrap things up. So we'll go around. Who's your number 10 team?
Ole Miss.
Ole Miss.
It's also Ole Miss for me. I don't know. I'm not going to put USC up there.
Well, that was a real fun segment.
You put UCLA above Ole Miss, though.
Yeah.
Yep. I mean, Ole Miss also almost lost to Texas A&M. Yeah. Granted,
UCLA A&M almost lost to South Alabama.
1 point. They still won.
At home. At home.
Well, to be fair, Ole Miss beat Troy 28-10. And almost lost to Tulsa.
Troy beat South Alabama.
Tulsa. Was
Troy beat
eight,
South Alabama.
Tulsa was an 8
Troy beat
win.
South Alabama. Your argument's out the window.
No, they also almost lost to Tulsa. Tulsa was a 7-point win.
Alabama eight. Almost lost to Texas A&M.
Yeah, but that was with
Alabama
Jalen Milroe.
Almost lost to Arkansas. I mean, yeah, it looks like a blowout, but we gave up 20 something points in the third quarter.
Things are devolving.
We almost lost to a backup quarterback in Texas.
Yeah,
that's true. Things are devolving very quickly. So before we rip each other's heads off, we're going to wrap things up here. Thank you so much for listening to the College Football Wrap-Up here on 90.7 Crack Zone. We'll see you next time.
WVUA-FM, Tuscaloosa.